CliffCentral.com.
I was telling Ben, I posted a pic up on my Facebook. Let's get these two knights of the round table, and they're standing in King Arthur's castle, and they're looking at the round table, and the one knight says, "Cool round table, who built it?" And the other knight says, "Circumference." Ah, that kind of thing makes my day. All right. Sit down. Let's get stuck into this. There's so many interesting things happening in South African sport. But I think one of the most interesting developments is the fact that now, you know, sports that were kind of very, what would you say? They're almost like very binary. And there was the women's team and the men's team, maybe. Now we've got like a gay rugby team, which is terrific. We've got, soon we'll have a transgender rugby team. Now, wouldn't that be interesting, Mubs?
Sure. Huh? Let's just keep going. Let's make as many as we can.
For sure. And we got two guys from the Jersey Cats who are Africa's first gay rugby team. I think they're busy recruiting at the moment. So they've got stuff to tell us there. We're going to find out what they're looking for. You know, what kind of team composition this is going to be. But here they are, ladies and gentlemen, from the Jersey Cats, South Africa's and Africa's first gay rugby team. We have Tevishan and Chris. Is that about right? Did I pronounce your names correct?
Yes, that was very good.
All right. So let's begin with you, Tevishan. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, Gary.
Yeah, this gay team is only four people at the moment.
No, we're a lot bigger than that.
How many people in the team?
Probably have a core squad of about 25 guys.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you've got recruits.
Yeah.
And you can pick and choose.
And a lot more on the fence. Some guys who...
On the fence?
On the fence.
You mean on the bench.
On the bench.
On the fence means they're not even sure if they're this way or that way, right?
Well, that's the cool thing about the club is that we're gay friendly and gay inclusive. But you can be straight, you can be bisexual.
Oh, you can be gay, bi, or straight, and you
all
can be
straight,
in the team.
And you can be, if you identify as male, transgender, come play as well. We're that kind of environment.
Fantastic. Sure. So it really is just a very accepting environment.
And the cool thing is we never ask anybody to self-identify. So you don't have like a box that you've got to tick, like where do you fill out for like team demographics?
I think it's going to become pretty clear in the change rooms though, right?
Everybody asks us that question. It's the strangest thing.
And just to like put people at ease, we don't even use the change room just yet until people get used to each
doesn't
other.
Doesn't imply we're dirty.
Yeah,
we change at home.
No, I mean, no one's implying that you're dirty. I'm just imagining that, you know, if you have a change room where there are three or four straight guys showering, they're probably not going to be checking each other out as much as, you know, if there were three gay guys showering together. But then that's not exactly true, and we can't always assume everything on the face of things. So a lot of people, I mean, I went for that because it's the obvious low-hanging fruit here, if you don't mind my saying. But there are a lot of things about this team that sound to me like it's very cool. For example, you're now recruiting people. So you've gone out there and you've done these controversial things where you've said fairy, fag, whatever the words are that you've used. All of these things do not apply here, right? I mean, it's a very masculine thing playing rugby.
Mm.
So you are going against the stereotypes. You're fighting the kind of the kind of words that are used as insults, really. And you're using them to recruit people. This is very smart. It's like when the N-word was appropriated by blacks in America.
Exactly.
Who decided we're not going to let you use this word. We're going to take it back and make it ours.
Well, when Tevishan came to my agency, Havas PR, at the beginning of the year, he said to me, look, we're looking for players. We've been around for a couple of months. You know, interest has kind of waned, and we really want to build up a full contact team to compete internationally, games like, you know, the Bingham Cup, out games, gay games. So I sat around with my team, and one of the guys said, well, what do these players look like? So we went to the Facebook page and took a look. He's like, well, they don't even look gay. I was like,
that's
interesting point.
How do you look gay?
Yeah, exactly. I think it helps
probably
if you
expecting
wear a sign.
Some handbags or something like
that. Or maybe an air dog. I don't know.
I think everyone has to have a feather boa. I don't know what the rules are anymore. You know, it always changes.
Yeah, it's very hard to identify these gays. They really should
exactly.
wear
Exactly. They seem to be everywhere.
They should wear a pink star like the Nazis made people
well,
wear.
Exactly.
Sure. Clearly, that's what those people want. Yeah.
So we looked at the players, and then, you know, the idea came to us that we should take stereotypes and turn them on their heads. So I met with my photographer, Vanna Prinsler, and we kind of spitballed a couple of ideas. And the ones that we chose were the ones that would resonate didn't need explanation. And I mean, we went through about 150 gay slurs and there were some corkers. Like,
so funny ones, right?
Funny, yes, but also like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing. So like, yeah, light in the sneakers is probably like light in the sneakers is a probably less offensive one, but you couldn't really demonstrate that visually. So the six that we, you know,
the six are.
Pansy, queen, fairy, fudge packer, pillow biter, and the sixth one.
These are great words.
It's a good one.
Fairy, queen, fudge packer. I don't know.
But where does light in the sneakers come from?
Light in the sneakers, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you could go into various rationales about why that was. Can I tell you the worst one?
What's the worst one?
Sperm burper.
Wow.
Yeah, we were like, no, that's not going to be a caption. Wow. Like,
oh, that's bad.
It's bad.
All right, now let's just talk about you for a second, Chris. Mm. We'll get back to Tevishan in a moment. But you were a rugby player.
No, but I mean,
you did play rugby at school.
Yeah, I played touch at school. Yeah. I had really bad eyesight as a kid. As you can see, it's returned. Thank you very much.
You wear glasses.
I wear glasses, yeah. So I never had the opportunity to, I had to be relegated to playing hockey, but I played touch with my mates. And then kind of through uni, didn't really think about it. And then when this opportunity presented itself, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to play rugby. I was bred as a rugby player. I mean, the first picture I have as a baby is with a bloody rugby ball. So it gave me an opportunity to, you know, to finally start playing some form of rugby. And what I found that was really interesting for myself was that all the times I played touch when I was at high school, I was really uncoordinated. And it turns out I'm actually very coordinated, but what I was doing was spending so much time worried about what people would think about how I was playing that I wasn't focusing on what I was doing. So that was a really interesting realization.
You mean how you ran, how you looked?
Exactly.
You were concerned about people, and I'm sure that this kind of leads to a massive introspection.
Absolutely.
Where you calculate every move you make so that you won't appear to be effeminate. Or any of those things.
I mean, I don't know if you saw, you know, what Colton Haynes said when he recently came out. He said, you know, acting 24 hours a day is exhausting. And it really resonated with me because I understood what he meant. I mean, I've been out for 16 years now. But just reading that and then seeing myself on the field. I mean, perfect example. I went into Rugby World to go and buy a rugby ball. And I walked in and immediately I had that anxiety that I felt with a teenager. I was like, they're going to figure out that I shouldn't be here. They're going to figure out that I don't know what I'm doing. And I knew exactly what I was doing. I was going to buy a rugby ball.
Okay, it's weird. It's funny, though. There's so much we've got to get into on this on a psychological level. But I actually reckon that rugby is kind of gay. I think rugby is a naturally gay thing. And the reason I say that is probably going to upset a whole lot of people. But I don't reckon most men are comfortable with being in such close proximity as a scrum to other men's genitalia and ass cracks. If they aren't in some way, shape, or form, deep down inside, comfortable with being around men. I don't think it's possible to be that close to other men if you're in a physical environment like that. I mean, I'm not saying all rugby players are gay, but I think that rugby is very easily made gay, and it's entirely possible that gay guys would gravitate towards rugby before any other sport, right?
I mean, you'd be amazed how many guys resonate with it, but just stay away from it because they just think, oh man, it's that straight macho thing that people want to do and like go and murder each other. So yeah, it looks like when you guys pack down for a scrum, it kind of looks kind of cute, but then you guys spend the rest of the game trying to murder each other at high velocity. Like, it's quite an interesting thing that.
But this is also an interesting discussion because being gay used to be a certain kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it used to be this very effeminate queen, liked dancing, liked all kinds of very stereotypical female interest things. There are a lot of gay guys now who, and I know gay guys who are very, they're probably straighter than 90% of the straight guys that I know. They do straight things. They want to be perceived as being, you know, big, masculine, hairy, strong, tough guys. And these guys could knock out just about everyone who calls them a Morphe.
Yeah, well, yep. Look at Bearfest.
Look at Bearfest, where we're going to send Michael Flax later on this year.
We were going to send him dressed as Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant. What a great idea, right? But he didn't follow through.
To Bearfest. Yeah.
How many bears would he...
But how did you... So
Bearfest is about going to be over 100 guys, yeah.
And right. They're big burly men, right?
Yeah. But Gareth, to your point about... most of them. About, you know, having feminine qualities attributed to gay men.
Yeah.
It implies that it's not cool. Why would having a feminine quality
no,
be
there's
a bad
nothing
thing?
Wrong with that.
Well,
either.
Exactly. That yeah. I'm yeah. talking to sure. your point. You know, and that's in, oh, we've seen
but
lately,
it's the
rise of the metris.
It's exactly. The
this is how guys want to see, non-gay guys want to see gay guys as being that stereotype. Because
no,
it allows them to be compartmentalized.
Yes. I agree with you on that statement. It's, I was having a discussion about 2 weeks ago about, as soon as you come out, people feel like they have to like emasculate you. And like, people
really?
Are like, oh, really? Oh, you're gay. Oh, okay. Like, can we go shopping now? And you're like, dude.
Yeah, I hate shopping.
If I had a handbag, I'd hit you with it. Like,
so all right, I'm going to go and buy one.
But I want to hear your story. Tavesh and I want to hear your story in a second. Let me just finish with Chris's story. So how old were you when you decided to come out?
25.
Okay.
And part of my mid-20s breakdown.
All right. I mean, that's probably a good age to do it because you don't, like Bruce Jenner, spend 60 years of your life wishing that you could be a woman.
Right.
And again, that's a totally different thing to sexual orientation. But you did it at 25. Was school tough?
No, it was fine. You know, I had a great group of friends, but also as a kid, I was really overweight. So I thought all my issues were about being overweight. And it was only really, when I went overseas and, you know, got exposure to, you know, different ways of thinking that I was like, oh, I didn't want to be like other guys. I wanted to be with other guys. That's interesting. I might be gay. So I mean, I studied drama. I was surrounded by gay guys the whole way through university.
And you didn't click at that time that you were gay?
They always say your friends know, you know, your parents know. And that's kind of how it worked out for me. You know, people say, is anything you want to tell me? I was like, probably hungry. but there was never really a sense of my sexuality. And I think because I just completely downplayed it because I thought, well, you know, I'm overweight, so I kind of need to get my ass in gear.
And after you came out, did you lose the weight?
I lost the weight before, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good because, I mean, it's hard. In the gay world, you can't be fat, right?
Yeah, I don't want to be a bear.
All right. So then, obviously, you decided when this came along, and you work at Harvest now, but you decided this is a great place for you to actually almost in some ways relive a kind of lost part of you in your childhood that you never really got to grips with.
Well, exactly. It was an amazing opportunity. And because, you know, I come from a rugby playing family, always watched games on a Saturday, but never actually played. It was a great opportunity to start learning these skills, you know, and not fumble a ball when it was thrown to me. And that's been really empowering. And that's one of the things that we offer is for adult men to learn to play rugby.
Beautiful. Tevishan, how about you? Tell me your story.
Yeah, I went to a boys' school, so you kind of grew up in that sports mayhem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was that kind of just average built kind of kid. And I just looked at, I mean, you're in a boys' school, every guy who plays rugby is a machine. It's the big, mean, rough and tough crowd. And I just thought to myself, well, not for me, I'll go play hockey instead. But I mean, you spend every
poor hockey. Hockey is such
I know, right? Sorry, hockey players.
And don't get me wrong, I loved it and I was pretty good. And really enjoyed it. But, you know, you spend every Saturday at first team rugby games in rugby season. And, you know, if you're not doing that, I was watching Super Rugby and,
So you love rugby.
I love rugby. I just never played rugby and it always got to me. Like I'd look at a rugby ball and walk past a rugby ball in like Sportsman's Warehouse and just go like, oh, I should own one for no apparent
reason.
And
you just never played?
No, I mean, you'd throw like a ball around during PE and that kind of stuff. But I just thought to myself like, wow. Yeah, just, you know, it just looks like, you know, these guys are like 40 kilograms heavier than you are going to smash you. And, I mean, kind of got through university and, did a bit of touch rugby, league after that with some corporate touch. And that's kind of where I kind of got into it a bit and thought to myself, this is actually pretty badass. And then I moved to New York and found out about gay rugby because
in New York,
because they've got a team they're called the Gotham Knights.
Okay.
And this is 2007. And I thought to myself, like, I found out like the last month before I was leaving. And I was like, holy cow.
This is what you want.
If I'd known.
Yeah. You should have joined them right at the beginning. So are they a well-organized sort of, you know, super successful team? Or are they also just kind of playing on the outskirts?
No, I mean, gay and inclusive rugby is pretty organized. About 70 clubs worldwide. So we're one of 70. Quite popular in the US
and
in Europe.
Ben is saying that they're playing some big tournament at the moment.
Yeah, Bingham Cup. It just ended on the weekend. So that was 50 clubs from around the world, 1,500 rugby players playing a club rugby tournament.
And an All-Australia final.
Yeah, and an All-Australia final. Melbourne versus Sydney. If you see the quality of the rugby the guys played, was exceptional. So it's incredible kind of sport that's developing.
But how do you guys find, like, okay, so you've got 25 people basically part of your team. How are you finding, like, are you playing actively against opposition? What's the kind of feeling from other teams? Like, how's this all breaking down? Because I see that as a big challenge. You get these guys who are going to be like, oh, we're not playing, there's more fees, you know. I'm sure that kind of stuff still is going to pick up.
So about 80% of the guys who've joined the team have never played rugby before. Okay. So we're in the building phase in the next few months, because you don't want to, you know, it's rugby season at the moment, but you don't put 25 guys who've never played rugby together, no, or 80% of those guys who've never played against guys who've been playing for a decade.
Okay, so you're still very much in the formative stage.
Yeah, right? So it's basic skills. I mean, we've got good coaches doing foundational rugby. What we find is the guys we're getting are pretty athletic. They're just learning rugby.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
So they're already fast. They're already in shape.
Well, it's most of us. there are a bunch of us that are completely out of shape. I mean, haven't exercised or done a team sport ever. And that's kind of half the challenge of just, you know, come have fun, man.
But
just,
it is fun. So how often do you get together?
We practice every Saturday and then touch rugby every Thursday night. Touch rugby league every Thursday night.
So what's the sort of goal? I mean, obviously the Bingham Cup's a real, real big deal. So, you know, it'd be great to have a South African representation in that. So what is the kind of goal going forward as far as getting into leagues, or how do you see the future?
So we'll play touch rugby always as a club. I mean, that's our mainstay, and that's our introduction into rugby for a lot of guys. We're starting to get a team together now that's actually pretty mean. So we might actually start fielding two teams. One is our development team. The other guys who want to go win the damn thing. And then we'll put together a contact rugby team. And that contact rugby team. So we're part of Wanderers Rugby out in Illovo, mm-hmm, and we might like become their fifth team as a contact squad.
Okay.
But we're definitely going to put together a team that's going to compete in every international gay and inclusive rugby tournament. So we've got Bingham Cup, Union Cup, Gay Games, Art Games. There's more tournaments coming up all the time. There's another one in Berlin in August, which is Gareth Thomas doing a clinic for 2 days, and then they're going to form like a few Barbarians rugby teams and play against each other.
Gareth Thomas was pretty much
the most famous rugby player of his generation, yeah, right?
Well, to basically come out and say he's gay. It was one of the big steps.
Now tell me, how old and how young? I mean, what's the age range in your team?
Youngest is probably 21, oldest is 41.
Really? Yeah. So you cover...
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest, huh? Oh, well, don't worry. You're holding up all right.
Thanks, buddy.
Is it very difficult to get in, or are you going to have, are you going to be quite strict about kind of getting this team in shape and making it a powerhouse?
So from an recruitment point of view, we just don't care who you are, come play rugby.
Okay.
From the coaches building the teams, and we leave that to the coaching staff, they know exactly what they're trying to achieve, because they want to build a good contact rugby team.
I'm going to test your tolerance. Sia, would you be able to, do you think you could go and play rugby?
Well, you remember my under 14 F days, right? Those were my glory days.
Yeah, remind us.
Under
14 F, I was the lock in high school. But granted, after 5 games, you know, I had like the ball in my hand. I was running, and then this big guy was running towards me, and I was like, anybody got time for that? Then I threw the ball. Then somehow the ref said something like it was a forward pass. Psh. Forward pass, schmoward pass. So that was the end of my rugby career.
You've played more rugby than 80% of us.
So I might be, you say I might have a chance.
Josie Katz, we're always recruiting.
You could do this, huh?
You just need to put some muscle on you, though, wouldn't he? Don't you think? He looks a little bit fragile.
It depends how quick he is. how good is your fright or flight mode? Like,
oh, yeah.
I imagine Sia running.
Just running for my life. That's the thing.
Screaming.
It was a fright little stage. That's why I just threw the ball. I was like, no, I'm not about to tackle right now. So, not going to do this. So, yeah, my glory days. I don't know why you guys are laughing at my under 14 F.
So come play touch rugby. Good days. Like, you don't have to worry about being tackled or tackling.
I thought I was bad in the C team.
I don't want to.
I didn't even know they had an F team.
Wait,
at any school.
A, B, C, D, E, S.
That's the sixth team.
Not too bad.
In one age group.
What's top 10? That's not bad.
You couldn't have even had a full team, right? I mean, most of the time it was like four or five people.
They never cared if we pitched up for practice or not. If we wore the right uniform, it's just like, yeah, you're here. Grab a ball, run around. Sure.
Mabs, aren't you jealous that you haven't played rugby?
You know, I've always watched a rugby game and thought to myself, it just looks so painful all the time. I don't know why people put themselves through that.
It's great, Mabs. There's something about being a guy, no matter what kind of persuasions you may have, playing rugby or contact sports, one of the greatest things you can do as a human being. Just take it back right to the early days, right? All we did as guys was blick some things and try not get blixed. That was life, okay? So there's something kicks in, like, I love golf, as you know, so I'd rather play that than play rugby.
Sure.
Purely because
you also get hurt less.
Yeah, like I played in the Cape Town Tens a couple of years ago, and I twisted my ankle in a molehill. Contact was fine. But it was the coolest thing I've done in so long. Like, just being in the...
I'm just going to point out that's pretty lame.
It's terrible.
On a molehill.
I know. The being in the cut and thrust of
a
contact
molehill is the height of a tennis ball.
The ones in Cape Town are big.
Jeez,
these guys are dedicated diggers. But there, I don't know what it is. Something kicks in our fight or flight primal natures. Mm. And it's so great. And I think more people should know about this and get into it.
I mean,
it shouldn't just be this thing that only certain people can do, because it's so liberating. It really is.
If you look at a lot of the guys in our team, they would never join an ordinary club setup. It's just too intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the cool thing about what we have is, like...
Oh, I hate it. Do you know what I hated was team selection?
Oh, yes.
Even during break. I mean, even in PE, they would select teams, and I wasn't that great, and then I'd wait right till the end, and... I'd be like among the last five guys who were chosen for a team.
Yep.
Jesus, I hated that.
Can I cap that? Once I was made the captain and nobody wanted to be on my team.
Oh, no.
Shit.
That's bad.
That is bad.
I mean, like, the cool thing with our team is people are like, I don't want to go on. Like, what if I mess up? I'm like, we've all messed up. We all suck at this. Like, just get on the field and play. I'm like, what if somebody scores against me? It's like, we don't actually care. You're learning how to play rugby. One day when we take this a bit more seriously and we're here to win tournaments, then we'll care if you screw up. For now, just catch the ball, pass it to the guy on the left or the right. And if you see an opportunity to score, glad you will take it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really having fun.
We are.
We've had a few, like, 3-hour, 4-hour beer drinking sessions afterwards at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Which is part of being in a rugby club.
Yeah.
This is it. It offers so much to people. It really does.
Yeah, last Thursday night after our touch rugby game, I think we stayed around for another 5 hours just being lunatics. Tequila was involved.
Nice. I come for the after party.
Yeah, I think what you guys are doing is so great. It's that barrier to entry which takes a lot of guys away from it. So knowing, hey, look, none of us have really played a lot. This isn't quite where we are as a club yet, but we're going to go there. We're going to have a lot of fun doing it. I think it's brilliant.
And also another question: where do you make friends anymore? Like, when else did you make a new friend?
Online.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to go to parties and loud clubs and that kind of thing anymore, right?
Mm. Yeah, and be like needy and be like, hey, do you want to be my friend?
And the overpriced drinks, rugby club drinks are like
cheap.
Dirt cheap. Now, okay, have you dealt with people who are really shitty about you guys? Like, they think there's something wrong here, they don't like it, they smash the Bible or other things in your face. Have you met any of these kinds of people?
The most controversial remarks we had were on Russia Today. On the Facebook page, where people were literally, you know, everything from you're all pedophiles to you should all die of AIDS, like, you know, proper stuff. A lot of what we've got in terms of backlash has kind of been, I always refer to it as jocular humor. So guys kind of bantering, but using the exact same slurs that we've now reappropriated. So that I thought was really interesting. There was no malice behind it, but you could just see the education wasn't there. They were just trying to be funny to their mates. And the rest of the, especially SA Rugby Magazine, the rest of the community just climbed in there. We didn't have to say a thing. People just went for it.
We have not defended a single post.
Yeah.
What we've just followed, like, the commentary. Other people were climbing into each other going, oh, really? You're such a bully behind your keypad. Why don't you go say this to the rugby team and see how they take it?
Well, that's it.
And then people go quiet, and it's like people just getting called, people calling each other out and just being like, oh, you're so brave. You think you're a rock star. Like,
it is interesting to me. Like, I don't think gay is a big deal anymore. I don't mean to take anything away from people who are, you know, activists and all the rest of it. I think it's become kind of where feminism was when women didn't have the vote and when women didn't have equal employment opportunities and all that kind of thing. you know, earlier on in the previous century, when there was obviously a complete inequality, and even up to the middle of the last century, where women were really treated as second-class citizens in most parts of the world, I think that argument has moved on in civilized society.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there are places in the world where it's still backward, like Russia and the Middle East and all the rest.
And most of Africa.
Yeah, quite a lot of... Yeah,
most of Africa. I mean, we know we're dealing with a lot of that north of the border.
And I think we're fairly lucky in the urbanized setting where, like, we can be a bit brash and brave and, you know, do these kind of really tongue-in-cheek campaigns. But if you're a lesbian and a black female lesbian in South Africa, I mean, you are in for...
It's tough.
I mean, you see these kind of reports all the time about corrective rape and that kind of stuff. So even in South Africa, we've got all these civil liberties. Urbanized settings will save you. But if you're from a small town, small village, I think you still live with a bit of trepidation.
I imagine, though, that there are a lot of people who come and support you guys and watch and kind of take part in the club. And even if they're involved outside of the actual team, and there are probably a lot of girls who come. Right?
We had cheerleaders last week. It was pretty cool. I think we were the only team at the Touch Rugby League game where cheerleaders like just whooping and hollering at the other team, and every time we scored a try they went ballistic. So it was so cool. Like and a part of the club ethos is like, you know, it's not just a club. Like if you just want to support, come on and hang out as well, because not everybody wants to play. Some people just want to be involved in that culture. And when I was in London in November, I went to visit one of the big clubs there, the King's Cross Steelers. They've been around 20 years as a gay and inclusive rugby team.
Yeah.
They've got a huge fan base, like people who just come and watch rugby. Like you'd go and watch your son play on Saturday. These people come and watch like Saturday practices and just come hang out, have a coffee, comment on who's like improved in their game, and, you know, like a proper rugby club would.
So everybody's welcome is the basic, but that's the message here. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Pretty much. That's cool.
Yeah. Who could have a problem with that?
Well, I still want to support, but I'm very careful. So, for example, back in high school as well, after my under-14F days, I decided, even though it may not be great, you know, on the field, let me try something that's more in my realm. So back then, I still, you know, was interested in radio. So I thought, let me rather be like the sports announcer. So I'll announce like the sports results and we'll play some music in between. But my career ended when like, the field would get quiet and I thought the game was over and I'd play music, but then clearly it was like a line out or something. When do they need silence?
Oh my God.
Like a kickoff or
in that F team, under 14 F team, you never
they didn't teach me anything.
They didn't really explain the rules of the game to you. Anything. At all. What is it, Flex?
Do you guys have any like very strict rules for the teams, like no hooking up with other team members or something like that?
I mean that's a good question. So our official view on this is adults are adults. They're going to do it behind your back or without your consent. Like, and we don't want to be that kind of place.
And like you said, for a lot of people, this is a place to meet people.
Yeah. Mm. So it's people asking, it's like, is this a hookup thing? And we're like, no, it's not a hookup thing. It's a sports club. But if you find love, great. We'd love to have a gay rugby wedding. But like,
how would that look?
We'd probably look like a line out. I don't know. Like, we'd like carry people in on chariots or something. But you know, if people connect, how cool is that? If you're just going to make friends, how cool is that? If you're just there for the exercise, like, cool. But people are adults, right? Like, we're not going to micromanage anybody.
They don't manage professional teams. Why should you guys be?
As long as people don't bring drama to the club, that's cool. Like, if they're going to have spats, that's awesome. Do it outside of the premises. Like,
you're going to have, like, angry, jilted lovers standing on the sidelines going,
yeah. We had a similar rule at paintball where spouses weren't allowed to be in the opposite teams because if one shoots the other, we know there's going to be drama when people go home. So we always found it a lot better if your spouse was on your team because then you could defend them and then it's like it's kind of like romantic.
So before this, you had an amateur paintball league by the sound of things as well, right?
Different set of friends.
I think this is very cool. This sounds to me like the kind of fun thing that a lot more people should get involved in. And how many people do you need to complete the squad? I mean, will you stop? Is there a point where you're going to go, all right, enough?
Not at all. If I look at the King's Cross Steelers in London, they've got four teams.
Yeah.
They took four teams to Bingham Cup. They had over 100 people at the teams and the support staff. It was about 120 people that went to Nashville.
Jeez.
So why not field four teams?
Sure. How
I want to go all the way to an F team.
and then see how there'll be a place involved. Even for people like you and me.
Thank you so much. Now we really will feel at home. Now,
right. Yeah, I don't know if you guys are going to have any trouble recruiting people. I'm sure it'll be terrific. But are you going to be doing any gimmicky kind of marketing strategies around this? Are you going to wear pink uniforms? Are you going to do calendar shoots? Is there any of that stuff that's along the way?
We have some ideas.
But
right now, it's really just focusing on getting
the team
players,
going.
Yeah.
Right. And in Joburg, do you find that Cape Town and Durban might feel that they're being left out here because they don't have their own teams?
Cape Town actually does. They've got a team called Blight, but they're more amateur. Mm-hmm. They've been around for a few years, but they just kind of play social touch rugby.
You're teaching me things.
Exactly. But they just play like Sunday social. The difference with us is we were like, let's actually go and compete. Like, let's go play tournaments. Let's actually play competitive. Like,
take it seriously.
Like, touch rugby league. Let's take this seriously.
Really interesting about Blight is I was in Cape Town last week talking to mates of mine there, and they say Blight's like, well, if they can do it in Joburg, we've been around longer, we can do it here.
They're upping their game.
Exactly. Yep. We've got interest from Durban. Well.
So we've got a lot of people talking to us, and we've just kind of trying to put all these people to speak to each other and start a team.
Wouldn't it be great? I'm trying to imagine a future, maybe in a couple of years from now, where you guys could take on a major provincial side and win. And then all those guys who go around saying, as you need rugby spielers here, Morphy, and all that kind of thing, if they saw their own team being destroyed by a gay rugby team, that would be a little bit of payback, wouldn't it?
For bigotry and ignorance. We're aiming high. We want to host an international.
Sure.
But in order to do that, we need a fully transformed team.
Right.
So you think trying to find gay players is hard.
Try to find gay black players.
And colored and Indian.
Yeah.
I think you're the only Indian rugby player I know.
No, not even. Like, true story. I think we've got like 5 on the team. I think we've got more than like most provincial teams have ever scored. Like, this is amazing.
What do you think it is? Because it's inclusive and there's no kind of stress about how fit you have to be to get in or how big or small or...
I mean, I just speak from a boys' school background, right? So, like, if you grew up in certain parts of Joburg, you've got rugby at your school.
Yeah.
If you don't, you don't.
Right.
So, if you grew up in, like... I mean, I grew up in Lanesia. So, if you went to a school in Lens, no rugby offered. If you went to a school in Soweto, no rugby offered. If you went to a school in Westbury, Nuclear... chances are you probably didn't have rugby offered there. So if you wanted to play rugby, who's going to teach you as an adult?
But this is where we have to, like, this transformation thing has to go down to school level, right?
Absolutely.
That's where the problem is. It would be a whole lot easier for all of us in South Africa if everybody could just start doing what they're good at a young age.
Most interesting thing, our touch rugby league is crazy. That if you just cast your eye around, it's the most transformed rugby environment you've ever seen.
Really?
Mm. Good rugby players. You must see the women's rugby teams. Holy cow, we've been spanked. Good rugby players. We were like, okay, this is for reals. Like, there's some amazing rugby talent there.
Did you know any of this?
I did not.
See, there's some investigation to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds very, very exciting. All right, listen, you two. Thank you very much for coming to see us. The Josie Cats, can people come along and watch you guys practice? Can people come along and come and see you play games?
Or just have drinks with you afterwards.
Or just drink, because that sounds like fun too.
Most definitely. I mean, our Facebook page is probably the place at the moment to just get all the information. We're getting our website up to scratch in terms of mirroring all the stuff that we post there in terms of schedules and stuff.
Josie Cats.
Josie Cats on Facebook. We've got all of our practice times up. We've got all of our games posted. So come check out what's going on and bring a pair of tackies with. You never know. You might actually join in.
You might end up being a player. They might need to recruit you if everybody else is away that weekend. But it is fun. I mean, at the same time, having an amateur kind of club like this does make it exciting because there's no stress about, you know, having to fundraise or having to do this or having to do that, or having to be organized. If it doesn't work this week, you can pick it up next week.
No, that's the difference is we actually are pretty organized. I mean, one of the things that we did when we started the club is we didn't want to people to rock up who are good rugby players and go, oh, this thing's a joke, man. There's guys here to goof around. We run ourselves like any other rugby club, and we're part of Wanderers Rugby. So we made sure that we've got a proper structure in place. So that if we want to compete and attract good rugby players. No, it's important question. If we want to compete and attract good rugby players, we've got to offer them something. But we've also got to make it so not intimidating that someone who's never played is going to be like, this looks like fun. Let's go hang out.
Sounds terrific. And if people want to find out more, they can just go and check out your Facebook page. Here's a comment. They'll hook up behind your back. I see what your guest did there, says somebody.
adults got to be adults.
Is there a maximum age that you're too old to play?
You have to be alive.
Yeah. I mean, we saw some of the clubs overseas. The guys in their late 40s and still playing. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sia, you know what? This could be the thing you've been
this
looking for.
This really could be my next chapter then. It's my true corner.
Unemployed as from tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
He wants to take a sabbatical. So, yeah. Let's see.
I reckon you would score like a gazillion tries a touch. Come hang out.
I was a lock back in high school, but now I just want to be a hooker. So,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I had to take it there.
See,
I'm immature.
Asking for it.
See us begging for it.
our team's all about competition at that level. You have to hook against the best.
Wow. Well, okay.
What position would you play, Sia?
No, really, I was though a lock in high school. So
yeah, but you're too small for that now. Should
What's a little back one who runs
like the wing?
Yes,
the little back one who runs.
I just know there's someone running. They're like three people.
Sia knows as much about rugby as I do. The little back one
there's
who
like
runs.
There's a scrum. There's a wing lifted in the lineup.
Scrum. Then there's the fly half.
It's the lock that's lifted in the lineup.
Really?
Then there's centers. Then there's wings. Are you talking about the guy at the back?
Right at the back. Yes. Right. And then he sometimes drop kicks the ball. Right. Like to the
he'll kick the ball. That's like
yes.
That's stuff. The fullback, yeah.
The who now? The fullback. Yeah. I can totally be a fullback or a wing, whatever sounds cool.
So yeah, you'd actually be amazing in the Lions because they could just throw you in the air like an old boot, and then you would catch the ball like it'd be brilliant.
Thank you, Ben.
We should be coming from from the ballet squad. They could pirouette in the air and stuff. That would be amazing.
I'm glad we've inspired
this morning. Now you're getting into stereotypes as well. Recruit from the ballet squad. I mean, do me a favor.
Hey, ballerinas are amazing athletes.
No, they are. Holy cow.
They're very strong.
That's some of the strongest people you'll meet.
I would imagine you find a lot of very big, strong guys too, right? Who are gay and have never played rugby before, but they're built like a brick shithouse and they can really deliver.
Yeah, we tried to recruit from the Bears. It's tentative.
Well, those are Flax's people. Flax, you better go and do some recruiting for them at Bearfest.
You know, if I survive Bearfest, I'm going to come join you guys for a game.
There we go. Did you ever play rugby at school?
Yeah, I was.
I was a prop.
Yeah, I played prop during my.
Oh, because you were fat.
Fat stages, yeah, so it was a numbers game in the scrum. So
Chris
that's
was fat
why they,
too. Yeah. You guys could share war stories.
I even played first team. I was really
Cake
good.
Stories.
Played eighth man when I lost the weight.
Really?
And then, matric, my mom said I can't play. I need to focus on study, so couldn't play.
Well, there we go. You don't have to listen to your mom anymore. Join the Jersey Cats. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for coming in to see us. And all the best to you. I hope it goes really, really well. And we'll support you 100%.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Good stuff. There we go. As Ben said, the more the merrier, right, Ben?
Totally. Rugby clubs, they're great.
Let everybody get involved and be a part of the excitement here. There's no reason why rugby should only be for X, Y, or Z. It should be for everyone. I mean, if there are girls that can play rugby, and if there are gay guys who could play rugby, the sky's the limit. We're going to have transgender teams. We're going to have what else can we have? Where else do we take this if the sky's the limit? We could have teams with really untalented rugby players like me. Now, that would be a major move in the right direction.
Well, I mean, you've got wheelchair rugby, murder ball.
That's true. Murder, is that what they call it? Murder ball.
Murder ball.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Hectic. Wow.
Intense. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like murder. Those guys in the wheelchair mean business. I played wheelchair basketball once. It was vicious. It was cruel. they used their wheelchairs as weapons. Yeah. There's no holding back. All right, thank you very, very much to both of you, and all the best for the Jersey Cats. You can find out more on their Facebook page. All right, there's a little Selena. She's not so little. Hands to myself. Except she doesn't. Those hands look like they go everywhere. I mean, I could, but why would I want to? Here's what's happening the rest of the day on cliffcentral.com. Today we've got Rory and Andrew with Frankly Speaking. The beginning of a new month, Rory and Andrew are asking, are born frees immune from racism? Well, that's interesting. Then it's Pumi Mashiro with Womandla at 10. Pumi will inspire you to be the best woman you can be. And she's right here. Come here, Pumi Lele. Let me hear what you've got planned. Come on up here. Let me talk to you. Let's get her up here. See what Pumi's got planned. Sia, grab Pumi. There she is. Hello, Pumelele.
Welcome home.
Thank you. I missed you.
Was it awesome?
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was lovely. It was really, really cool. So tell me, Pumi, what do we got on the show today?
So it's a month away from tax season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving everybody the heads up.
Oh, God.
You've got a month to get yourself and your shit together.
Yeah.
And if you get in there early, what a lot of people don't know is you don't actually have to wait till the end of tax season to file all of your stuff. If you get in there early, the sooner you're going to get your rebates if you get money back.
Sure.
Mm.
Well, I would love to get money back from the tax man.
Get a more tax like consultant. You're doing your taxes wrong.
You think so?
Yeah, you're doing your taxes wrong. Most people are actually doing their taxes wrong. I found out when I was doing my research because of especially people like you and I that are like freelancers and business owners and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You're actually getting taxed at the highest bracket all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be. So chances are, and because you're not like when you're an entrepreneur, you're not making lots of money up front.
Right.
You should be getting money back, Gareth. Oh, get a good tax consultant.
Okay, I'll pay attention. Thank you, Pumelele. There we go. Pumi's on a 10. Grant Tolle and G-Man, the ad man. He will be on at 11 o'clock, advertising and a whole slew of careers. Many an actor, musician, all-round entertainer found advertising to be a springboard for them into great things. So have a few advertising creatives. G-Man, the ad man, hangs out with some of these people who went to jobs in advertising agencies and then went on to launch careers that fed the industry. Laugh and talk about all the serious stuff and then laugh some more. Then at 12, it is Elif Gulandebele, Theo Moyo, Dirac Jesus, and Joao Matthews. They're going to talk about Real Madrid's triumph over Atletico Madrid in the UEFA Champions League final and Cristiano Ronaldo's absence in the entire game until the last kick of the penalty shootout, as well as a brief look at the big winners in the PSL Awards. They're joined by the returning Theo Moyo, and guest aficionado Anelka, a.k.a. Mo, a.k.a. Caramel Biceps, Max. This is on the name. And then Auto Central with Chad Lukoff, Vilmarie Janssen van Rensburg, George Meany, powered by Auto Trader. Here's something I've often asked myself. How was the odometer invented? Find out how Toyota will spend its 6 million rand investment in South Africa. And what are the 10 things that you should always have in your car survival kit? Do you keep things in your car? I keep a change of clothes, a spare tire.
That sounds devious.
Some tools. No, you never know, Ben. And I heard a great story about a guy who used to hide, because he had side chicks. So a guy I know used to hide condoms in his spare wheel thing in his car.
Yeah.
And then on his way to propose to a girl and pay the lobola, he had a flat tire. And his would-be brother-in-law had to help him fix the tire.
Right.
And he saw the condoms. And this guy didn't miss a beat. He grabbed the condoms and put them on his hands and said, oh, this is just because the tires are so dirty.
Oh,
clever move, right?
My gosh.
Isn't that smart? That's smart. So what should be in your car survival kit? The South African fuel price is in for a big increase. That comes in today. And the team reviewed the 2016 Chevrolet Captiva 2.2 DLT. Then the worst guys with Mark McGluley and the team. They will be in on a conversation on everything, politics, music, pop culture, and more. They're the worst guys because they're willing to say what others won't. Capital wrap-up with DJ Capital, and they're hanging out with DJ Switch. He takes him through the beginning of his relationship with hip-hop as a b-boy to how he transitioned into DJing, and his latest music video for Now or Never will be featured. Then, at the end of the day, Kelman on Cliff Central. Aria Kelman, Teebs is back for Team Talk. Dean Finzale, who made the Cliff Central sign, will pop in. He's the head of marketing. It's his own business. And then the head of marketing for Mnet Movies, Justin Jacoby, will stop by as well. And YouTuber Grant Hines returns for a chat. Busy day on cliffcentral.com today. Look after yourself. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Everyone except Sia. So, Sangweni Finn, we're going to do a little farewell for you today.
Yeah.
But we know we'll be chatting to you all the time. And if you go anywhere interesting or you do anything exciting, you'll check in with us.
I'll talk to you guys live from India.
Very nice. Have you booked a ticket?
Well, I've booked a holiday.
When?
In July.
Ooh.
So namaste to you.
Very exciting, Sia.
This is ridiculous. I can't even believe it's happening.
I know, but good for you that you're doing this. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I think it's very cool. When Sia told me, I wasn't even cross. I thought, well, you know what? You could be selfish and you could think, well, we're going to miss Sia. But actually, this is the perfect thing to do. Let's get you ready for it.
Oh, yes.
In fact, I'm going to play a song for you.
Oh, no, John. Visualize New Delhi with the spices.
I'll play a song for you. All right. As soon as I've done the unnews, then I'll play a little song for Sia. Coming up next. All right. Thank you very much. Andrew and Rory are coming up too. I don't want to waste too much time. Let's go to the unnews for this morning. Here's what you need to know. All right. Amber Heard is stepping up her allegations of spousal abuse and wants Johnny Depp to be brought to book. Heard said Depp has been channeling old movie characters of late, and as Jack Sparrow, Depp struck Heard with a dead parrot recently, hence the bruising. She's worried that soon he'll attack her as Edward Scissorhands, or even worse, he'll go all Sweeney Todd on her. Done some dangerous characters. In other news, the SABC are upping their 90% content rule and now applying it to their TV channels as well. This means a whole bunch of reruns and a whole bunch of shows from the 80s and 90s. Desmond Dube is excited about this, as back then he was pretty much the only black guy on TV. So look for his profile to skyrocket again soon. And finally, feminists are picketing outside Muirfield Village Golf Club, the host of this week's Memorial Tournament on the US PGA Tour. They're protesting the refusal of the club to accept any women members. Sadly for them, though, they have the wrong club. Muirfield Village is a golf club that's open to both sexes, whereas Muirfield in Scotland is the club that doesn't want women getting in the way of their misogynistic lifestyle. So they can protest all they like, they're in the wrong place. It's kind of like when the ANC Youth League went to the wrong Standard Bank branch to protest. We will see you tomorrow, all except Sia. Here's a song for Sia. Have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com. Andrew and Rory are next. CliffCentral.com.